You're listening to On Design on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. In each episode, we profile a person, survey a place, or unpick an idea that's changing or challenging the design industry today. Covering everything from buildings to typography, the show dedicates a few minutes to delving deeper into the past, present, and future of the design world. This week, design journalist Katie Tregidden tells us about the women of the Bauhaus Design School. Despite flourishing for only a brief period in Weimar Germany before succumbing to the Nazis, the school and the ideas behind it had a lasting impact on design worldwide.
A black and white photograph of the Bauhaus masters on the roof of their Dessau building is a veritable who's who of modernism. Among the suited gentlemen are Laszlo Moholy Nagy, Walter Gropius and Wassily Kandinsky, household names today. Strikingly, although perhaps only to modern eyes, there is only one woman. Standing second from right, Günter Stölzl was the only woman ever to achieve master's status at the Bauhaus, and she is one of many women whose contribution to the influential art school is yet to receive the recognition it deserves. With Gropius proclaiming in his first speech, "No difference between the beautiful and the strong sex, absolute equality," and female students in the first year outnumbering the men 84 to 79, it's easy to forget that this was only 1919. Ideas around gender still associated men with culture and women with emotion. Gropius himself connected head knowledge with masculinity and hand knowledge with femininity, while Kandinsky postulated that both genius and creativity were inherently male. Perhaps the stories of three women can counter these ideas. Günter Stölzl, who was the master of the weaving workshop, as well as Marianne Brandt, head of the metal workshop, and the photographer behind almost every picture of the Bauhaus building you've ever seen, Lucia Moholy. Günter Stölzl thrived in the chaos of the early Bauhaus, trying her hand at different disciplines, but not for long. Concerned that the number of female students would damage the school's credibility, Gropius established the weaving workshop to direct them into. Fellow student Annie Albers wrote, "At the beginning, we learnt nothing at all. I learnt a lot from Günter, who was a fantastic teacher. We sat there and simply tried things out." From this informal start, Stölzl eventually became head of the weaving workshop. She introduced a new syllabus focused on the development and theory of the craft and created commercially successful products that made the weaving workshop the school's most prosperous. However, her marriage to a Jewish architect in an increasingly anti-Semitic climate led to her resignation and emigration. She and Albers were the first theorists to define a modernist take on textiles while challenging its assumed position in the female domain. Meanwhile, Marianne Brandt was one of the few women to challenge the assumption that women should weave at all. "There was no place for women in the metal workshop," she said. "I was not accepted with pleasure." And yet she went on to lead that workshop, set new standards for modernist metalwork, receive more industrial commissions than any of her male counterparts before 1929, and create the now iconic tea infuser and strainer, described by New York's Metropolitan Museum of Art as the quintessential Bauhaus object. But the war took its toll on her too. Labelled a degenerate artist by the Nazi Party, she withdrew from the public eye. By the time her work was shown as part of a Bauhaus exhibition in 1976, she was in her 80s and in poor health. Today, her work is only just beginning to earn the respect it deserves. And it was not only those women teaching and studying at the Bauhaus who made an impact. Lucia Moholy wrote, "It would not be absurd to write about the role of the master's wives, those who had no official status and yet played a decisive role in the aftermath of the Bauhaus." Having studied photography when she came to the Bauhaus with husband Laszlo Moholy Nagy, she set about making herself useful, as was expected of the master's wives, by documenting the school. Her photographs are not only some of the best records of that time, they are also important creative works in their own right, following Bauhaus ideas about clarity, simplicity and asymmetry. When she was forced to flee Germany during the war, hundreds of her negatives fell into the hands of Walter Gropius. A decade later, she came across a MoMA catalogue that included her photographs, uncredited, and realised their significance. She contacted Gropius, but describing the negatives as "extremely useful to me," he refused to return them. After a lengthy legal battle, she finally recovered them, but not before countless books and exhibitions had already used them without credit. Architecture is frequently understood through photographs, but given that photography of the Bauhaus building was banned from 1950 until 1980, and the building was altered shortly afterwards, Moholy's photographs really are a unique record for which she deserves proper recognition. Laszlo Moholy Nagy, Walter Gropius, and Wassily Kandinsky, Günter Stölzl, Marianne Brandt, and Lucia Moholy. They should all be household names.
A very special thanks to Katie Tregidden for that report on the women of the Bauhaus. You've been listening to On Design, a Monocle 24 production from the team behind Section D. You can listen to the full half-hour show on Tuesdays at 1900 London time, or download the podcast anytime you like. And remember, if you can't wait, there are always more delights to uncover on the design pages of Monocle magazine. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.